want to know how to find it. Seek it out when they hide it. You know it's in the bag when it's an easy grab. But come on, take a chance now. So go, 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 geocache, geocache. And if you need help, we're right there in a flash. If you got a question, just call in and ask. Uncover the stash on the Geocaching Podcast. The Geocaching Podcast.
Welcome to the Geocaching Podcast, episode 356, recorded live on June 18th, 2014. I'm your host, Head Hard Hat, with
Daryl W. Four,
Scott Burks, and
Steven Zad Infinitum.
You can join our chat room and watch our live video stream, plus participate with us as we record this episode. All this and more can be found at www.geocachingpodcast.com/live. Be sure to contact us via our voicemail line at 630-31-VOICE. Also find us on Twitter at geocachingpodcast.com/Twitter and Facebook at geocachingpodcast.com/Facebook. This episode is sponsored by cache-advance.com for all your geocaching needs. Cache-advance.com. Go find it. So let's see. We are doing cookie eating from Montana, iPad testing to make sure that our comments are seen in the lower bottom third from Mr. Scott. Daryl's up in Michigan, and I'm here baking in 100-degree weather in North Kakalaki. So things are moving along pretty smooth. Oh, yes.
Well, and I think that both Scott and I are trying to avoid the floods. So, you know, we have our arcs going in the backyard.
It's raining really good out here. Yeah.
Well, Is it?
Yeah, it's ugly out there.
I've got three rivers cresting. Yes, it's flooding out here too. So
yeah, well, all that ice has got to go somewhere. Of us.
Yeah, it's, wow, it's nice out there. Yeah.
Yeah, now see here, everything is, there is such a sand content through here. You can get a ton of rain, and it's just the next day, it's like it never even happened. So we don't worry too much when it comes to flooding. I mean, there's some areas more than others that get it, but not as bad here, thank goodness, because it's hurricane season now.
And well, at least so, until it turns into quicksand.
Yes, exactly, and you just get gone and lose more geocaches that way. Let's see. Otherwise, not too much this week. The daughter, Amanda, Miss Geoness, finally graduated from high school. Yay! I am so proud of her, and I'm so glad that she's graduated. And the first thing I said was, oh, I'm so proud of you. Go get a job. So we'll see what happens. She's talking about going in the Navy. We'll see.
Yes, in the Navy.
In the Navy. Right?
Yes. That's all we're going to do because, you know, we don't want to get sued.
Yes. Village persons are just there. We love them. Anyways, so yeah, other than that, just a lot of family in and out and Father's Day, of course, and good food and good barbecue and had a good old time. So Corey cut it out. So yes, it was good stuff. He's doing YMCA down there. That's pretty funny. And the funny part is he knew how to do that. You are not old enough, sir, to be in disco times. Good stuff. Anyways,
I'll show you pictures. I've done it on a yacht.
Have you? I don't know if I want to see that.
I would like to hear more, actually.
Corey, that sounds like it's just too much information.
That'll be next week. We'll save it for that, for the anticipation factor. So, Daryl, save me.
Well, before we go any further, I do want to make a correction to last week's show. Thanks to our astute listener, KC9GBO, who informed us that Mall of America Cache 4, which was GC7B09, that we had referred to last week, has actually been archived. The business that actually housed the cache has closed, and the owner wasn't able to find a new host business within the Mall of America, so that cache is gone.
So he called he called this out, is what he did, basically.
Basically, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, but it's always good to have our listeners and viewers know that, you know, we can count on them to correct us when
call
needed.
Call us out.
See, and the nice thing is, I kept that one, like, you know, in the back of my mind. I really want to get back out there and do that cache, but now I don't have to go.
Right.
There you go.
He saved a trip.
It's not there.
Right. So he saved me a trip.
Mm-mm-mm. Well, that's good, and that's always beneficial for things like that. Okay, guys, anybody else have anything good this week, geocaching-wise?
Nah, it's Father's Day.
I was Father's Day, man. I was, like, barbecuing like a dog.
Saturday, I walked to a cache about a mile and a half, 2 miles from me, and did it all while I was called in to another podcast.
Were you?
Yeah.
What podcast were you called into?
That was the Hiker Jams geocaching podcast, I think, geocaching talk show, I think is what he calls it.
Yes. Now, I have to admit, I listen to them, and they do plugs for us all the time, so I have no problem when you mention those fine folks. And he's still looking for a co-host, right?
Yeah, he is looking for a co-host, so I decided I'd call in and walk over there since I had the time and, you know, kind of filled in as co-host, I guess, for the week.
But you literally walked over to where he was.
No. I walked to find a very remarkable cache, one of those ones that ever since it published, it's on the list. When I have, you know, half an hour to go find this thing, I'm going to go find it. So I called him, walked over there, found the cache while I was live with him, and it's this huge cryptex, essentially. Very well done, handmade cache, with a decoy, I might add. It was a fun find to do while I was talking geocaching for, you know, the half an hour before and after.
Yeah, now see, this is the prelude, and I'll use this as a transition that doesn't exist, but since you mentioned it, it's going to. Because that's something we're planning on doing on the geocaching podcast, is to have Corey and Scott go out live.
Guinea pigs.
Yes, but ours is going to be a lot more fun.
Okay.
Oh, my God. I mean...
So stay tuned. Once we get the kinks worked out, and I know there will be there, we are going to do that. We're going to have two of our fine hosts here go out and wants a cookie. Corey's eating cookies. Scott's saying he wants one too. That's all part of the fun. You got to keep up with
Scott,
the bottom.
Check your email after the show, Scott.
Yeah, Scott, you don't get to have a cookie until after you find the cash.
That's right. So anyways, we digress, but good stuff. Why don't we, Daryl, for gosh sakes, let's save ourselves and do the podcast roundup once I learn how to talk. Letting our viewers know what's going on in the geocaching podcasting community. I'm driving through regardless. I'm doing this. What's coming up this week on GeoGearheads?
Well, GeoGearheads this week is going to be Night Caching 2 with John Robb on again to talk more about night caches. And yeah, Scott, I think yours might be a night cache when we do that one live.
Ooh, yes.
Oh, that'll be fun. Hopefully the police will get involved. This will be good video.
I'm counting on an LEO.
Daryl might just call the cops.
I might have to.
Psst, by the way, there's this strange-looking guy over at...
There's this weird guy walking around like he's drunk with a flashlight.
He looks awful suspicious.
It probably won't be far from the truth.
Anywho, on the GeoSnippets Reboot podcast, that other podcast that we do, actually I do, but that's how that goes. Wife Amy and I, since we weren't able to do the show last Thursday because of all the things that we got wrapped up with family and graduation and all that fun stuff, we are once again going to do and try this Thursday, tomorrow, about multi-caches and a little bit about puzzle caches. And that'll be a lot of fun. So we look forward to seeing you at the GeoSnippets Reboot podcast at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And then be sure to make sure you head over to the GeoGearheads tomorrow night at about 9:10, 9:15, right, Daryl?
Yep, 9:10-ish.
All right. I love with those specifics, 9:10-ish. All right, ish. Let's move on to the geocaching question of the day.
Geocaching question of the day.
Hey, cachers. I'm Lookout Lisa from Cache Advance, your host for the geocaching question of the day. Well, I've been caching since 2002, and I've been in the business of geocaching since 2005. Monday through Thursdays, we ask our followers on Twitter, Facebook, and Google+ a question about geocaching.
We recently asked, have you ever geocached via public bus? Well, after tallying all the answers, we found that just over half, or 52% of cachers, have used a public bus to find a cache. So here's what we heard. Robert on Facebook shared, once, I parked at one of our park and ride lots and rode the bus downtown to Riverfront Park, saved on paying for parking downtown. Nancy, also on Facebook, shared, I drive a school bus, and when I drive for an away sporting event, I quite often locate the nearest fast food place. And if there's a cache between the event and the restaurants, all the better for me. A quick park and grab might not be so quick if I can't fit my 44-foot bus close by. Wow, that would be a bit of a trick, I imagine, for some park and grabs. Well, TSMola01 on Twitter shared, yes, I use tour buses in D.C. a few times to get some of the virtuals there. That sounds like a great way to get around town. I understand that the traffic can be challenging, to say the least, in the bigger cities. Well, hey, we really enjoyed hearing about caching by bus, and you can too if you follow us, Cache Advance, on Facebook, Twitter, and Google+, for the geocaching question of the day. Thanks and happy caching.
Well, thank you, Lisa. We appreciate that. And yes, I actually have geocached from a bus going bus stop wise in Boston. Matter of fact, it was kind of neat. Scott, you have to move your thing up closer for him to see.
Yeah. Oh, we're done. All right.
We are testing new technologies tonight.
She's done. Go ahead.
Special messages.
I have never cached on a bus. I can safely say.
Well, not on a bus, but you know, using a bus to get from point A to point B.
Never done that
because
either.
The taking out those lamppost hides with a bus is just not well thought of when you go out geocaching.
No, never just used saying. A bus, I can say.
I've had a bus try to pick me up because I've tried to find those cache hides that are on the bus stops.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm like, no, just keep going. Just, no, I don't want to ride. Keep going. Oh, no, keep, I'm good. Go.
Never on a bus. Can't say it.
Good stuff. All right, tonight, episode 356, geocaching rants. Oh, my gosh. How the heck are we going to do this in 15, 18 minutes? I have no idea. I was listening.
Keep going.
Keep going and going. I was listening to OB Podcast, and Scott Burks, who last week was their special guest, and it was really good. And one of the things that I could honestly appreciate, because our show tends to be much more, for lack of a better term, structured, right. It's not as easy to go off on rants as much as you would like, because we're very, you know, restricted in the amount of time, and we want to get certain things out and knowledge and information and things like that. So I thought tonight would be a good time as any to let our geocaching hair down. And for Corey, that's more than we want to know about YMCA. We're going to talk a little more about geocaching rants. And I'm going to open up the mic to anybody that wants to start out here. And I expect Scott to kind of become the lead on this anyways. The only thing, Scott, you're restricted to only 23 hours. I think Google Hangouts goes 8 hours max.
Really? That's it? Really?
They stop.
Wow.
Yeah. So you're kind of restricted on time.
All right. I know Daryl wants to start. I know he's just itching to say something. He's been quiet over there.
I'm just laughing at the two of you guys. Corey, your knowledge of the YMCA dance is really revealing tonight.
Now,
I am older than I look. I mean, you may think I'm the young guy here, but I am an old soul.
An old soul? Would the term Studio B even register?
Man, I love Studio B. I'll tell you what, the old Andy Warhol and everything like that. Yeah,
right. All right. Well, I'll start on the whole, you know, the whole lab caches that came out. What is it? Last week they came out. Did they come out last week?
Oh yeah, the new ones.
Yeah, like Chicago, New York, Seattle, and Los Angeles.
Right. It was tied to a television show. Corey, maybe you can help us out with what the name of that show was.
It's tied to a new movie.
Yeah, it's a movie, yes. Not a television show.
What movie?
I was trying to locate the actual movie.
You want to swallow before you talk, Derek?
He's in there munching on a bag of Chips Ahoy's and trying to do a podcast.
It was on top of my spin. It was tempting me. You know, I can't remember the new movie, but it was Groundspeak second tie into a new movie. And so they created some lab caches and... You know, from what I see, I mean, it's got a short tie-in, and it's kind of nice to see them tie some lab caches into it. They have a 30-day expiration date on
right.
them. So, but from what I see, I don't know if there's really any benefit yet to completing the lab caches. I haven't really seen anything as far as if there's any benefit to completing the lab
caches. Is it a series where you have to get all of them? Or, I mean, they're in cities all around the country.
Yeah, basically, I've done Chicago's, and what happens is that once you finish it, you get a trailer to the moon.
Okay, fair enough. So I think that would be interesting as far as for people to be able to do something like that. Would be, is this something that you think is going to catch on? People want to do this?
No.
Okay. I mean, honestly, you're the one that did it there. Did it get your blood a-boiling to get involved with it, or was it just a, yeah, I did it?
Yeah, it was one of those, yeah, I did it. I'd rather, you know, I'd be much more excited for an ape cache to come out again or something along those lines, you know, where they had a specific icon kind of a thing and props from the movie, kind of like the first ape cache had. This was just, it was just four lab caches that weren't even that exciting. It was just pretty much, you know, looking at something and answering a question kind of thing. You know, I mean, granted, that's what lab caches are, but this is like, you could have just as easily found it on Google. It just as easy.
Yeah, well, this is my issue with a lot of the lab caches is it, because it's not anything in the physical world, you're just going out and answering some questions, they really need to step it up a little bit, make it a little bit more interesting somehow.
Exactly.
And we really haven't seen that with most of the lab caches. I'm not going to say all because, like, the stuff that they've done for the Kent Mega was apparently just unbelievably cool. As I understand, there's one of the lab cache series out in Seattle area over around Groundspeak that takes you to some really good geocaches as well as being lab caches. So there are some really good implementations. It's just most of what we're seeing really is starting to turn people off on lab caches in general, and I think we're going to have another one of those situations before long, like we had with the challenges, the geocaching challenges. Yeah, we're just, you know, dissed because, you know, so much of it was so bad right out of the gate.
Right, I agree.
Is it because it's too in general? It's too easy to, like you said, look it up on Google?
Well, it was. It was. Go ahead.
Yeah, there's nothing special to it. It's simply, okay, go here and enter this word. And it's not even, you can't use spaces. You have to do, you know, some weird things sometimes to make that fit. And to make it worse, it's supposed to be something that you don't have to use a smartphone. So if you're out in the field and you're asked to enter, like, one of the ones at St. Charles lab caches for this year's Geo Woodstock, was enter this faded word off the side of a building. Okay, that's nice, but there's multiple words that we were reading out. Which one's the right answer? Well, those of us with smartphones were able to say, oh, this is what it is. You can't put the space in. And
oh,
the
so
people
you really
who were
had
right.
Logic think it.
Yeah, well, and it was a lot of trial and error. We had a bunch of us punching in this one, that one, you know, most of us not on the same phone at the same time. So we didn't exceed any retries or anything. But for the people who were there without a phone, who were just doing it from the GPX file, that was a major problem for them. What happens if they got there and said, oh, well, it's all, you know, okay, maybe I'll write down these three words, but it turned out that it's the one without the space, and they didn't think of that once they got home.
So the frustration factor is there as well.
Yeah, yeah, they're not, you know, sometimes they'll take you to great locations, but for the most part, the lab caches haven't been really that spectacular, certainly, you know, not to the level of a lot of the virtual caches even. And then to top it off, you have additional frustrations with it.
Right.
So what's going to make them good?
The big thing is, well, it's got to be memorable. I mean, the biggest thing about geocaching that made it for me is that it made it memorable. It was enjoyable and it was memorable. I mean, some of the greatest caches that I've found are something that sticks out in my memory. You know, it could have been a great multi-cache. It could have been a great mystery cache. It could have been a great traditional. It could have been a great, you know, whatever it was. And some of the lab caches that I've seen so far, because unfortunately I haven't had the ability to do any.
You're in Montana.
Block party.
Hey.
Andy, they Andy, they just got electricity like 2 weeks ago. Cut him some slack.
I was going to say.
I just got an, after we get done with this, I got another rant. But, hey, I just found one.
Go for it.
But, you know, it's I haven't seen anything yet that really makes it memorable. I mean, the only thing that when we were able to do the iHeart geocaching, I was able to make one for a friend of mine, and I was able to tour him through, you know, inside a building, which made it interesting for me to create one.
Right. Yeah, here's my thing is basically, because this is a new concept, you have to have, like, gadget cache style, you know, gadget cache level finds. Mm-hmm. You can't be doing LPCs with lab caches at this point, because that's going to get people turned off, and they're just not really going to want to do them.
Right. It's really got to, I think it's really got to be something special, not just, like you say, not just an LPC. Agreed.
And a lot of that doesn't have to be overly difficult either. There is so much you can do with areas that have the I did not know that factor. That's the stuff to me that's memorable. So, in other words, if you're looking at a an area that is well known, okay, everybody's seen it. You can look it up on Google Plus. But you find those little bits of nuggets of information about that spot that nobody else is going to know. Mm-hmm. That's either historic or some major significance that you can't just simply just look it up and at images in Google and find out what the answer is. Mm-hmm. To me, well, that would make it a lot more memorable.
Yes, and it has to be something that couldn't have been a traditional cache in some way, shape, or form.
Right.
You know, if you're doing something that would have been better served as an Earth cache, then what's the point of doing it as a lab?
That is true.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I'm not saying that this is something that's, you know, going to remain that way. You know, once lab caches flesh themselves out a little bit better, we start getting more of them. I can see having, you know, the parts of the lab cache that are basically just like any other Earth cache, virtual cache, whatever. Mm-hmm. But until people get the feel of what they can do and what they are, you know, they really have to be top notch. You really have to think outside of the geocache and start doing stuff that's like inside a business where you couldn't do it geocache
right,
normally.
Correct. Yeah, I think that would make it really cool. But it's actually them actually allow you to do that and allowing you the access to do that. Right now, we can't create lab caches, you know.
Right.
Awesome. Now, Corey, you said you had another rant. What did you want to go on with that?
He's eating.
No. I'm not eating anymore, no. I was chatting with Denise. I'm sorry. No, leave Montana alone.
Oh, besides that,
leave Montana alone,
and all the Canadians that live there.
You got anything?
And the elk? No, kidding.
I got another one. If you don't have one, Corey,
go for it.
All right. How about the whole fact of groundspeak? Like a little backstory. About in October, I was in Tennessee. I think I was, and I found an archived cache in the woods. And me and Jesse Shorty and it spent about 2.5 hours trying to figure out which cache this was by finders and whatnot, Pat, previous finders, the area, who was in the area, found out which cache it was and logged it because we found the cache. Perfect. Cache was in perfect working order. It was archived for about 4 years. Okay. And we archived, right. and we signed it and we got credit for it. Now, cut to, we're going to Geo Woodstock and they archive and lock, the webcam caches. Now, one of the webcam caches by the school actually worked. It was archived, but it worked. So people were still logging it and then actually, you know, putting, but you know, signing the log and uploading their photo. But Geocache, Groundspeak, sorry, right before the mega actually locked that cache. Now, I don't think they should have locked it. I don't see the point of it locking it. If it works, if it's archived, if people are still uploading correct pictures, what's the problem? What's the reason for actually locking it? That kind of pissed me off.
Yeah, well, I agree to an extent, but especially with a school, I wonder if there was some concern over the traffic. Yeah, if they had a concern over the traffic, then yeah, I could see where that, you know, might be an issue. You know, why are all these people going to a school and, you know, posing and doing weird things?
Hmm. So safety factor as opposed
yeah.
to just doing it off that way.
No, because
yeah,
they locked the other. No, but they locked the other one as well. They locked
right,
both
but the
of
other
the
one doesn't actually
area.
Work.
Right. Well, it does. It's sporadic. It's on and off. The person just archived because
yeah,
they got
yeah,
fed
true.
Up. But they actually locked it.
Right. But yeah, this is one of those things that Groundspeak, I don't think, really wants the webcam caches anyway. You know, they grandfathered them in to appease people, but they're, they don't really want them.
Those. I think they're great.
I love webcam caches.
So do I.
Well, and speaking of lab caches, that's something that needs to get into a lab cache again is, you know, the web cache capability.
Mm-hmm. There was one that DeBear and I did when we were going to Geo Woodstock last year in Florida. Mm-hmm. That was just awesome. They got this huge sign in the background, and you're sitting there doing this and having fun, and he's sitting there with his laptop zooming in while he's doing all that fun. Those things are a riot.
Right. I mean, if they made them live, I would literally put one out my window. I would put a camera out my window and make one if they made them live again.
And there's still some places that I really think up here in Glacier National Park, there is some amazing web caches that have some amazing scenery where I could be standing and be seen, and it updates, you know, and you know, you have to time it really well to get that captured, and you have to do, you know, I don't know about the service being there. I mean, so I think you'd have to do it the good old fashioned way to get a really good picture. But, you know, I would be willing to call somebody up and get it done the old way, like it's supposed to be doing, for my thousands. You know, I had my mom, who was 62 years old, on my laptop calling me going, I don't know how to take this thing. How do I take this picture of you? I'm like, Mom, right click on it. Well, what's the right? It was in my laptop, so there's no mouse. So, you know, I was walking her through. We're all waving our hands, and she's getting, you know, we're getting tired of waving our hands, you know. And so, I mean, we finally got the picture. It was fun.
Yeah.
You know, I would like to do more of those.
I can see, you know, but with a lab cache like that, with bringing webcams back that way, there is nothing wrong with having the stipulation that says you can't do webcams that are by a school.
Right. Or by we can't do that now. We can't be by a school now. I mean,
what I mean. You follow the same restrictions that you have now. You just apply them to the webcam.
Right. But here's, I think, what really happened is Groundspeak got word that Scott and Shorty Nitz were heading down there trying to do the double-digit icon day, and they said, oh, no, we can't let that happen. Make sure to archive all the webcams. And,
yeah, right. You know, they made me drive to Peoria is what they made me do.
Yes. See, and you beat their system. Had That's they known, right. They probably would have archived and locked that one, too.
And that was, mind you, Andy, that was on a school, too. That was Bradley University. That's where I went to their webcam cache. Yeah.
That's cool. Now, see, that's another thing, too. I have done a zillion geocaches. In North Carolina, you can't throw a rock and not hit a college. Mm. What is the difference, or should there be a difference, in referring to them as a school?
Well, agreed.
So in
I
other
mean,
words, I is could, there an age?
Right.
A
I,
grade?
Right. I could put a cache all over a college campus, but I can't go near a high school or an elementary school or a junior high. But college is free reign. I mean, I have a cache, my 10,000 cache, commemorative cache, is on Elgin College campus, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it has to do with predators, you know, sexual predators and things like that. They want their kids safe, and, you know, and I understand that. I mean,
you go to college, you can't be safe on college. What does that mean?
Okay, so let me get this straight, Corey. It's harder
to steal 120 pound people than it is, you know, 60 pound people. I don't know.
Let me just get this straight. You're saying, Corey, that there is an age of consent for caches?
No, I was talking about for people stalking around. I wasn't talking about caching. I was talking about for people looking strange out in front of.
Have you been to college lately?
Maybe that's the difference. Is that
the older I get, the younger they look. Yes, I know.
Well, but maybe that's the difference. Is that at college, you know, geocachers don't look like they're out of place. They just look like, you know, more of the people stumbling around drunk after the frat party.
Right. Whereas when you're on a when you're on an elementary school playground looking at the apparatus.
Yeah, that's totally different. Yeah.
Yes.
Wow. All righty. Any last we got a couple minutes left. Other final rants that we had on here. The one that I saw on here was as far as there seems to be a lot of more armchair kind of geocaching going on out there. So when it comes to people, geocachers going out, and I know the cache is out there in that field someplace. I just don't feel like going to find it, but I'm going to log it found anyways. You know, you get into that area of it's only hurting them. But I can't tell you how many times I know that a geocache that I've had is either archived and it's not there anymore, or they simply did not go out and sign the logging, yet they put it anyways. Big deal or not?
No. To me, it's how you play the game. I mean, it's everybody chooses to play it their own way. I personally don't armchair real caches, only lab caches, but not real caches. What's funny is that I was actually down in Southern Illinois doing a big long route, and one of the local, you know, there's one huge guy, a local guy that's out there, and we saw, you know, we were going through and we were hitting the caches, and his name was not on any of the logs, and yet he logged all those caches. And I was like, you know, you're from here. Why wouldn't you? I could see if you're like armchair in Chicago caches, but like you're from downstate. Why are you armchair in your own caches? You know, that just didn't make any sense to me. But there are caches out there that want to be armchair, though. There's actually one in Bussy Woods if you want the GC for it. He wants you to armchair. It's actually called armchair. It's the name of the cache.
Really?
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
There's one cache that I did. It was called Cheat Geek. And it was to make the most obscure first to find log that you possibly can. I actually, out of all my unique finds, I'm one short on my unique finds, and that's because I logged that thing twice. Groundspeak archived it in like 21 hours.
Really?
Really?
And they locked it. Yeah, because. You can't be. You're not physically going and signing it. You know, well, yeah, of course. I mean, because there wasn't even a container there. In you know, it was one of those things where you know it was there to create the most extravagant log story that you possibly can. We had people placing it. We had people placing logs 5 years before it was even
published.
Before it was even published.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Now,
and so I mean, it was amazing. I mean, we still have people contacting people who've written logs on that one about, man, your stories are just so insane.
Well, I've actually done a few of these, and I haven't heard them quite as much in the past couple of years. But the lying caches.
Oh, well, lying cache. That's different. A lying cache is different. That's different than that.
Yeah, the liar caches, you have to find it. You just have to invent the story to go along with it in the log. Yeah. And those, I have to admit, are kind of fun. You know, they do kind of go against the traditional geocaching model, because a lot of those were, you know, 5-5 caches that were really park and grabs, you know, like LPCs, you know, should not be a 5-5, but they'll write them up as the 5-5. And, you know, there is no special equipment required, so it shouldn't have a 5 terrain. Mm-hmm. Difficulty, you know, okay, I can see the difficulty is writing a clever log. But, mm-hmm. you know, the ALRs, you know, say that you can't do that anymore anyway. Mm-hmm. So, technically, you can't really require it, so it's a 1-1.
Yeah, for the record, that armchair cache in Chicago, everybody, is GC3JC5T.
There you go. Look it up.
Look it up. It's
all right,
yours.
Folks. Well, we've gone a little bit over, not too bad, which is good. I love it when we do stuff like that. Good discussion tonight for rants, and we kept it under an hour, which I really, really love. All right, good stuff. Let's move on and go from there. We want to thank you, our subscribers of the Geocaching Podcast, for stopping on by each and every week. We really, really appreciate it. We want to thank a great big thank you to Lisa from Cache Advance for everything she does.
Thanks, Lisa.
Yes, thank you. Let's move on. Please be sure to join us each and every Wednesday at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time for another episode of the Geocaching Podcast right here on the Geocaching Podcast website at www.geocachingpodcast.com/live. The video version of our show is available on YouTube, and the audio version is available on our home website, iTunes, Stitcher, and many of your favorite podcatchers. We love hearing from our viewers and listeners, so please visit us through our social media sites or contact us via our voicemail line at 630-31-VOICE. The Geocaching Podcast is a Head Hard Hat production and is produced by Daryl Wattenberg and Andy Smith. This show is copyright 2014 by Andrew T. Smith. All rights reserved.
There.